One. I know the first 5 minutes I talk to the wall. After the children will be gone, but at least we have a camera here, so it's good. I actually decided to speak tonight about 2.5 topics. One topic is the parsha, which leads us to speak about a little bit about honesty. And also I was asked by David to speak about the situation in the Jewish homes today, which is a 50 hours lecture. Try to do it in 5 minutes. I would like to actually start with last week Parsha, and Parshat Yitro, the Pope of the generation, the expert in all the fake religion, come to the greatest person ever live. It's a very interesting contradiction here. The one who up to certain point was representative of all the Avodah Zarah in the world, an expert, and is a very, very big hero, that he was making such a switch, 180 degrees, completely to the other side. It's not so simple. Once you become famous as the head of the church, to come and become the father-in-law of the chief rabbi of the world, it's not so simple. But he gave Moshe Rabbeinu a very interesting advice. The advice was, you can't be a judge of an entire nation. What do you expect? What, Moshe doesn't know it? A person cannot judge 3 million people, 10 million people. What do you need? You need the Pope to come tell you that. You're the chief rabbi of the world. He comes to Moshe Rabbeinu and he says, you have to break it to judges for 10, judges for 50, judges for 100. Moshe accepts his advice with one change. This is basically the difference until this moment for 3,322 years between the Goyish court to the Jewish court, to the Beit Din. The main thing, what is it? In both Beit Din, you have to bring witnesses, you have to bring proof, you have to bring shtar. You know, they try, both at least try to find the truth. Yeah, they try. Not always they do it in a kosher way over there, like they do it, like they try to do it in a Beit Din. But both Beit Din is really happy if they found the truth in the end. But something very interesting. Yitro said to Moshe, Adavar akatan ishpotuem. The small claims, let them judge. And the big claims, the big money, the big cases, let them come to you. And what did Moshe do? He didn't take that part of the advice. Why? Because in the Beit Din today, when you have a very simple case, nobody cares the amount of the money of the case, whether it's $5,000 or $5 million. That's really not the issue. If it's a complicated case to judge or not, based on that you choose the judges. If it's a very easy thing, all you have to do is bring the two witnesses to be mekayem the shtar. The shtar is legit. There's nothing you can do more than that. What can he do the other side? Sign on the shtar, finished. You don't need a big rabbanim for that. You don't bring Rav Eliashiv or Rav Vosner to be the dayan in a case like this. Because it's a small claim, not necessarily when it comes to money. It's not a complicated case. By the goyim, if it's up to $3,000, where do you go? 6 o'clock in the evening, a judge that retired 20 years ago, you hardly remember his name. That's no big deal. It's only $1,000, $3,000. Don't waste our time in the main court. Go in, the judge is in pension. 1, 2, 3, 2 minutes. Yes, no, finished. Why? It's only up to $3,000. We don't want to be bothered with that. Small claim court. By the Torah, it doesn't mean anything. Din pruta ke din mea. If you're a thief, you're a thief. Whether you stole a dollar or a million, you're still a thief. So Moshe Rabbeinu took the hard things, et hadavar hakashe. What's hard, he took for himself. You need experience, you need Ruach HaKodesh, you need a certain level for it. And this parasha comes right after that, is all of it, the parasha of Beit Din. Almost every verse is something to do with a court case. בדין, משפטים, אלה המשפטים, there's more mitzvot in this parasha than any other part of the Torah. One after the other. And most of it, דיני ממונות, דיני נזיקין, there's מסכתות שלמות, complete מסכתות about this parasha, parashat משפטים. How the mitzvot in the Torah can be divided by different categories? We have Taryag mitzvot, 613 mitzvot, we all know that. And it can be divided to six different categories. Category one, absolute mitzvot that always obligated, the person is always obligated to keep, such as tefillin, kriyat shema, Shabbos, holidays. They're not depend on the wish of a person. Nobody asks you, you like it, you don't like it, you want, you're in a mood. That's it. Do it. Finished. The second part, second category, restrictions, such as you should not kill, you should not steal. Restrictions. Third one, mitzvot that the Torah is giving you, but hoping very much that you never do. Such as judge thieves, somebody got caught stealing, murderers, executions, motumat, stoning, burning, all these things that nobody hopefully, if we could, we would hope never to practice it even once in our lifetime. We are not interested to keep this mitzvot, but we have no choice, unfortunately. Fourth ones, mitzvot that depend on the wish of the person, such as if he wants to eat meat, it requires certain things to do, shechita, melicha, all kinds of things. You don't want to eat meat, I'll never have to do this mitzvah. Once in 10 years I can do it. You don't want to eat, you don't eat, finished. It's not like today, you have butcher, refrigerator, so the butcher does the job for you, you restore the meat. The old days, you want to eat meat, you take one of the goats from your backyard and you do it. And the rest, you either find someone to eat or tomorrow it's going to be all spoiled. There's no refrigerator, what can you do? The fifth category, it's mitzvahs that depend on the situation that was created, such as yivum, chalitza. Certain things happen in the world that now requires to do this mitzvah. And once in a while, and not all the time. If, for instance, no brother would die without leaving children, most people will never have to keep this mitzvah. Today, nobody does it. It's all chalitza. But even in their days, it was a very rare mitzvah. What's the chance that something like this will happen? And the sixth category is mitzvot that depend on the choices of a person and his wish. He has the choice if he wants to do it or not. If he's interested, then he'll do it. Such as tzitzit. There's no obligation to have tzitzis. Only if you have four corners. If you don't have four corners, you can go all your life without putting tzitzit 1 second in your entire life. Today, we are being clever. We created ourselves some garment with four corners, not to lose the zchut of the tzitzit. But if a person doesn't put it, cannot come and say to him, you violated the rule. Well, I have an obligation to wear four-corner clothes. Torah never said it. Torah says, if I have it, now it requires a mitzvah. So six different categories. And this is all together, 613 can be divided to six different categories. We're reviewing now the beginning of the parasha, speaking about Eved. The Torah, besides the Pshat, of course, has a lot of secrets. Eved Ivri, 6 years, in a seventh will go free. What's the secret in Kabbalah about this? The secret in Kabbalah is that a person is a slave of his Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara controls him, his desires, like smokers, for instance. They have this strong desire, when they finish to eat, right away they go out to freeze for 5 minutes. Why they freeze? Because they like to freeze? No, because they want to smoke. So the cigarette controls their life, the desire. Or many other desires that control the life of a person. I always say in a wedding, when officially the wedding is over, when the dessert is served, everyone is like a magnet to the table with all the cookies and all the delicious ice creams. If people didn't have desire, they would stay there until who knows, tomorrow morning. What's the rush? So this is the yetzer hara of a person. If 6 years he managed to control his yetzer hara, there are two kinds of people. There's one person who controlling his yetzer hara, but never got rid of it. It always exists. If he's an angry person, he is always angry, but he controls his anger. He doesn't let it go out. He has it in his heart, but he managed to keep it that nobody see. It's boiling inside. But he say, Hashem say, you should not be coerced. I'm going to start screaming and make chilul Hashem. I control my anger. Something like this is a very high level, but there's a much higher level which doesn't apply to our generation anymore, is that a person is able, akor, to take it out from his system, that he doesn't get to this anger and to boil inside and to feel that he's about to scream. He doesn't have that. Doesn't apply anymore. It's not my opinion. They asked this question, Rav Ben Zion, Abba Shaul, the legendary Chacham and Mekubal that passed away 12 years ago. And he said, in our time, doesn't apply anymore. If we get to a level, we control all our bad traits, it's already a very high madrega. Even the Ramchal speaks about it, Mesilat Yesharim, the difference between these two levels. 6 years a person fight with his Yetzer Hara, and one, Bashvi'i Yetzel Lechofshi. From the seven on, the Yetzer Hara doesn't have control of you ever again. You're a free man. But how many people did it in life? Very difficult. That's the secret of it. And besides, Eved, a slave, he goes free when his master attacked him, either broke his tooth or his eye or any one of the 24 organs that the Gemara brings. By doing that, you're actually losing your slave. You born him, he cost you money, he hardly worked for you a day or two, you gave him a punch, you lost him. Why? You broke his tooth. Everybody knows why the Torah gives two examples, the tooth, the eye. Eye does not return, the tooth can grow back. Kamash Malan is no difference. Whether it grow back or not is free. But the question is like this now. What happened if the slaves know that the only way for him to go free is for his master to break his tooth? So what is he going to do? All day pick on his nerve. Everything his master tell him, he play games until he loses his temper and give him one big smack. And then the slave say, ah, Baruch Hashem, I got what I want. Case like this, is going free or not? What do you think? Huh? Ruz are ruz, but maybe it's a trick, no? It's Naval B'Yershut HaTorah, no? Who invented the expression Naval B'Yershut HaTorah? We use it a lot every day. Ramban, very good. But the question is, the Ramban that invented that expression, was he holding by it or no? The Ramban that said, it's Naval Birshut HaTorah. Was he holding by this expression, or he just made that expression, but according to him, he didn't really apply this expression. Very interesting, to invent an expression and not hold by it. Which means, according to the Ramban, there is no case like this Naval Birshut HaTorah. Why? Everything that what we describe as Naval Birshut HaTorah, it's a violation of one of the mitzvot deoraisa of Kedoshim Tiyu, according to the Ramban. According to the Ramban, all the situations that looks like Naval Birshut HaTorah, it's kosher, but it stink, doesn't apply. It's not kosher. Why? It's a violation of Kedoshim Tiyu. It's very interesting. So anyway, so what's going to be now? The slave did everything he can for his master to heal him, and he got what he wanted. Now he lost his eye or his tooth, whatever. So the answer is, the Chatam Sofer, he says, yes, he goes free. How the Chatam Sofer know he goes free? It says like this, the Gemara in Brachos, page Vav,
learned that Yisurim memarkim avonotav shel Adam. Yisurim, suffering is the best cleaning. Cleans all the averos of a person. How did they know? How did Chazal know that if a person suffers more than his friend, then it's a better cleaning? How did they know? Maybe there's no connection. How do you know that by suffering, by having all kinds of sicknesses, your back hurts, this, traffic, sweating, all kinds of things, it's all Yisurim that cleans away the sins? How did they know? The answer, Lamdu zot mikal vachomer. They learn it from Kal Vachomer, needless to say. Ma eved yotze lechofshi al yede sevel be'evar echad. Kal Vachomer, someone who suffered in his entire body. If a slave got a punch and now he has pain in his tooth or in his eye, he goes free for the rest of his life. Look what it released him from, horrible life of slavery. Someone who suffers every second of his life, all day, all night, all over his body, it's a much better, bigger achievement. Has to be. Otherwise, you know, it's common sense. So the Chatam Sofer say, what kind of Gemara is this? What kind of Kal Vachomer is this? Something is not right here. What's not right? If the Eved is innocent and his master punched him, then you can do this Kal Vachomer. But if he's a criminal, if he did something wrong and he got the punch that he deserved to get, how do you compare this to this? You got to compare apples to apples. What's going on here? So the Chatam Sofer, Mikan Reaya, from here, it's a proof that even if the slave is guilty, is a criminal, Mitgare Be'adono, is asking for it, and his master hit him, and he got the suffering, it still releases him. And from here we learn about us. We all criminal in some way, in certain mitzvot that we do on Mezid. Because remember, avonotav, it's averos that a person does on Mezid. Chet is b'shogeg. Avon is Mezid. Pesha is not only Mezid, it's Mezid al menat la'achis. On purpose, I'm looking to do something wrong. Mezid, I didn't plan it. It came. I don't care. I shave with a razor. Nah, it's comfortable, whatever. So that's called Mezid. No, it's not allowed. You know, he didn't plan, but it happens, he does it. But somebody, Poshea means he has a machine that he likes better than the razor. You see the rabbi over there, and you take the razor, and in front of him he does it. That's called Achis. Ze Poshea, Pashati. So avonotav, yisurim memarkim avonotav, kal vachomer chatayim, which is a lower level. Most people live all their life with the illusion that finally when I made an avera, of course it's shogeg, ma, I'm a from Jew. Yerei shamayim, ma, I learn Musar every day, ma, try, you know, Yom Kippur, see how I cry Yom Kippur? I make a pool on the floor for my tears. People think, living with this illusion, Rabbi, if you ever catch me doing something, I promise you, I assure you, it's 100% shoigeg. But the truth is, it's almost everything mezid. If a person is honest, if you check one by one, you see that it's all mezid. It's not the topic right now. If you don't believe me, you argue with me after the lecture, I prove to you. One of the reasons, briefly, because most of the shoigegim is come from being an Am Haaretz. Everyone is Am Haaretz to a certain point. Some more, some less. You know, can compare two different Amei Haaretzot. One can speak very nice, still consider Am Haaretz according to Chazal. And one doesn't know two words of Torah. That's for sure. Everyone agrees Am Haaretz, but there's different levels of Am Haaretz. But many of the things that we do, on Shabbos, for instance, we violate Shabbos probably 500 times without realizing. But most of it comes from not being aware that in that scenario, according to that shita and this, according to him it's mutar, according to him it's karet, it's safek d'oraita lechumra, it's getting complicated. But it comes from not being aware of certain things. So we do a lot of shogegim, which actually in reality is mezid. But like I said, it's a whole different complicated topic. Then we have the parsha of Edim Zomemim, two criminals. They want to convince an innocent person, so they come, they make up a story, we saw him, we all know what's going on here. The Torah says, Ein be'ein, shen b'shen, yad b'yad, regel b'ragel. In another place it says, ayin tachat ayin, shen tachat shen. What changed in the Torah? Why one time it's ayin b'ayin, one time is ayin tachat ayin? Nothing is coincidence. So what's going on? So the parsha of Edim Zomemim, the person that they are trying to convict still have what they are trying to take away from him. He's alive. They try to get him killed. He's still alive. He's going to lose his eye, but he still has his eye. Ayin tachat ayin. It's all money. Still have it. Nobody took anything from him. It's only an attempt. But when Nizikin, when someone threw a stone and someone's eye came out, the eye is not there. That's why sometimes the Torah uses the word ayin be'ayin and ayin tachat ayin. So, when it's in Parshat Mishpatim, in our Parsha, there's no eye already, or regel, because we're talking about nezik in damages. It's the mezik that he zik the nizak, right? And it say tachas because it's kapara. The word tachat in the Torah means chaparat avonot. You have to do kofar for yourself, not for him. That's why you need it. But over there, it's a different scenario. Also, ayin, tachat ayin. What comes after ayin? Pei. After yud, chaf. After yud, samech, kesef. That's the gra. The gra say, tachat means one under. Ayin comes under kesef. That's one of the secrets, how all of a sudden, eye for an eye became money. That's the connection. Then, we have an interesting thing that we say on Shabbos, Mi sheberach lacholim, and it's supposedly against the halacha, because the halacha say you don't ask for personal needs on Shabbos. And if you want to be healthier than what you are, it's a personal need. But we all see that everyone does Mi sheberach lacholim, privately or for everyone together. How do we learn that we are allowed to do it? And why we say, Shabbati mi lizok ufua krova lavo? What's the connection? You want to do Mishabarach? Fine. You have to find the reason why it's allowed or not allowed and finish. What's all this announcement? Shabbati mi lizok ufua krova lavo. So we learn it from the Parsha. It says like this. Veshivto. Veshivto iten, verapo yerape. It's all in one pasuk. Smichus. Shivto iten, shevet shabbat. Resting, shivto iten. You pay your Shabbos obligation, verapo yerape. Adam iten shivto, vehashem rapo yerape, mikol machalot av. Then, the next thing, kol almana veyatom lo ta'anun. Widow and orphans do not torture. Why it say kol? It should have say almana ve'yatom. Why kol almana ve'yatom? Also the rich one, the wealthy one. You may think, why not to torture her? She's a multi-millionaire, this widow. She's not suffering. She inherit all her husband's millions. She control a company. She's a very, very big macher, this woman. So what's the big deal? She's stronger than me. No. Widow is a widow no matter what. Then the Torah says, Midvar sheker tirchak. We have a Gemara in Masechet Eduyot, page 8. Amud Chet. En Eliyahu ba. It's very interesting Gemara. En Eliyahu ba, Ela, lerachek et hamekoravim bizroa, ulekarev et hamerochakim bizroa. Anybody here understand what it says here? You really deserve a prize. What's this? What's this Gemara? Eliyahu Hanavi come, those who are close, he pushed them away with his arm, and those who are far away, he brings them closer with his arm. What's the meaning of this Gemara? Did you ever ask yourself this question?
They're close. Right, the
thing is,
they're so close to Hashem. They're really far. They're not such a big
time. Over here, it says that he's actually doing something, some kind of an act when he comes.
Let me give you the secret here. It's beautiful. It says like this. Sheyavo Eliyahu Anavi, when Eliyahu comes, and the Mashiach will come, right? In Anochi Sholeach et Eliyahu Anavi. Okay, so then the Mashiach comes. Ha'olam Yetukan. The world comes to its correction. And the entire world will be truth. No more lies. None of these things. So when the world comes to perfect level, what does it mean, lekarev et ha-meruchakim? The world emet is very far, the letters are very far from each other. Aleph, mem, taf, it's the entire aleph bet. Aleph in the beginning, taf in the end, mem in the middle. Sheker are very close. So when Eliyahu Hanavi comes, sheker will be annulled, will be broken, will not be attached anymore. Kuf reshin, it's three letters. The sheker will be gone, and the emet that right away, it's very far, once in a blue moon, you find someone who lives according to the emes, he is going to bring everything together, get rid of all the dirt, everything will be pure and clean, solid, beautiful. We read, Mi ya'ale be'ar Hashem. Let's talk a little bit about honesty here. Mi ya'ale be'ar Hashem. Who's going to climb the mountain of God? Neki chapayim uvar levav. Someone who is hand clean from stealing and his heart is clean from sins. Hashem said on a person like this, Enai b'ne'emane eretz lashevet imadi. My eyes are aiming on those straight, honest people to sit with me. That's a very good, great compliment. Enai b'ne'emane eretz. I pick them up, all the honest Jews, to be with me. We say every morning after Tfilat Shmona Esre, Uva Letzion Goel, but nobody pays attention to what we say. Uva Letzion Goel, what's the next verse? The continuation. Leshave Pesha Be Yaakov. What does it mean? Uva Letzion Goel. Who's the Goel? The Mashiach. Lemi Mashiach Ba. Where Mashiach comes from? For those who made Tshuva. Leshave Pesha beYaakov. Yaakov is Israel, nation of Israel. Shave Pesha, those who return from their crimes. Those are the ones, the Mashiach comes from them. The rest will not survive. You want to know what's going to happen to them? Read Zechariah Yudaled. What's going to happen in the world when this happens? I'm not brave enough to read it to you. You read it yourself if you're brave. What's going to happen after? Let's skip to the end. Sheris Israel lo yasu avla, the ones Sheris, the ones who would left after I cleaned the world from all the dirt, the one who will survive will have the merit to stay. What's going to be special about them? Lo yasu avla velo yedabru kazav, they will not be liars, they will not be thieves, velo yimatze befiem leshon tarmit. No crooks, no deceiving, no exaggerations, none of these things. To'avat Hashem kol oseh avel. It's despicable in the eyes of Hashem, everyone who does avel. Avel means the opposite of honesty. En akshamim ne'etzarim, the rains stop. We're talking about Eretz Israel. Ela be'avon gezel. For stealing, for not being honest. Kafachaim writes, Kshayesh magefa ba'ir, when there's an epidemic in town, who are the first one who get hit? You may think, the Mechalel Shabbos, the murderers. No. Ashakranim, the liars. First one who are not protected from the epidemic are the liars. Kupat shratzim shel adam melea, Chazal say, the box of all the sins of a person is full. Uvugezel kofetz barosh. What comes ahead of everyone, on top of everyone, jumping, gezel. Gezel is jumping above all the other sins that are in the box of a person. את מוצא שפתיך תשמור, watch what comes out of your mouth, לא ייקון דובר שקרים לנגד עיניי. A liar, I cannot see him, I cannot stand him, I cannot look at him. Horrible things, horrible things.
You know, we all know that we had in town a very big tzaddik, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. He was a very big Talmid Chacham and also a very honest person. What was special about him is Yaakov Midat HaEmes. Very interesting, his name was Yaakov.
You know, one time my Rav told me the story. I don't know if I ever told you that story, but I'll tell you two short stories about him for us to understand a person in our generation, how, what level he reached. My Rav asked him one time in Shal Shudes, Kvod Rav, you never eat the fish. Every week I followed you, I see you never touch the fish. Any problem with the kashrus? No, perfectly fine. So he said, why, you don't like fish? He said, I love fish very much. So why you don't eat fish? So when I was 18 in Russia there, I was invited to a Shabbos meal Friday night, and the fish was so bad, as soon as I tasted it, I almost vomit. And the woman came out of the kitchen, she saw I didn't eat the fish, she said, Yankale, you don't like my fish? What am I going to tell her in front of all the guests? So I told her, I don't like fish in general. Next time when I came to eat fish, I remember what I told her. Since then, I got stuck. I never tasted fish ever again. How many years? What age he passed away, you know? 97 minus 18. 80 years he didn't touch fish. For one word that came out of his mouth, not to embarrass a person. Sheker l'shem shalom. That was a chumrah. It's not me, Kar Adin, what he did. He could have ate fish as much as he wants. It's only chumrah. It's not, you know, sheker l'shem shalom, it's a mitzvah, it's not an avera. But in his level of emes, he couldn't touch fish. Why? He said, I don't like fish. But here is a story that I just found out a week ago.
You know, most of the Litvish, I don't know most, I don't really know, so I don't want to promise something, I'm not sure. But the Litvish don't hold so much from Rabbeinu Tam. Because they count on the Gra. The Gra, you know, he said that when I come to Shamayim, I have all the proofs to prove Rabbeinu Tam that it's not necessary, it's tefillin. So many of the Litvish, Hasidim and Sfaradim, they put Rabbeinu Tam after they get married. And many of the Litvish don't hold by Rabbeinu Tam. And I've seen in my eyes the Litvish who puts Rabbeinu Tam. So I don't know. But I know that many do not hold by it because of the Gra. Okay. So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, he wasn't putting Rabbeinu Tam. One time, he arrived to age 90. He got himself a new pair of tefillin, Rabbeinu Tam. 90 years it took you to realize you have to put Rabbeinu Tam. It's strange, no? So somebody came and asked him, what changed from all the years? He said, I tell you the truth. When I was 50 years old, one Talmid came to me, said, Kvod Arav, how come you don't put Rabbeinu Tam? And I told him, you know, we hold like the Gra, that it's not necessary. So he said to him, but the Chafetz Chaim also holds by the Gra, and he puts Rabbeinu Tam. So he said, I just remember when I was 90, that I told him, Chafetz Chaim was 90 at the time of the story. So he said, when I'll be the Chafetz Chaim, when I'll be 90 years old, I'll also put Rabbeinu Tam. 40 years later, he got himself Rabbeinu Tam. Why? Because he told that person. And they found him here in a silver store in Muncie holding a menorah. How many Gdolei Ador stand online in a silver store with menorah in their hand? Did they ever see such a thing? Usually it doesn't happen. No, even if they have something, they send one of the kids, one of the helpers, the Talmid, the wife. They don't stand in a store. So one Talmid saw it, said, Kvod Arav, Torah, we want to learn. What are you doing in a store? So he told him, I got this menorah as a gift. I have to evaluate it that I know how much tax to pay. You understand what's going on here? This is really the ultimate level that a person has to reach. And this is in our time. It happened in our time. It's not 2,000 years in the time of Chazal.
in our time.
So what else we can say about this? Look, it says like this. When a person go up to Shamayim, he has to make sure to bring a lot of Torah and mitzvot with him. We all know that. There is a hint in the Torah that this is what has to happen. Lo yera'u panai rekam. When you come to my home, to my house, Bet HaMikdash, make sure you don't come empty-handed. Make sure you bring something with you. This is what Hashem is going to tell us. When we come up to Beit Din Shel Ma'ala, what did you bring with you? You came with empty hands, or you have some nice, good mitzvot, tzedakah, Torah, to show us? Now, we have in this parasha something very interesting. Every boy from Bar Mitzvah and up has to go in Shlosha Regalim to Yerushalayim to Beit HaMikdash. Shalosh pa'amim bashana, yirai kol zechucha. So he has to go to Yerushalayim. They have to leave the entire Eretz Yisrael. Now, of course, this is a very big risk. Why? Enemies around Israel you always had, as we read in the time of the Torah even. And now, of course, and always, always there were enemies around Israel, always. And they're always thinking about one thing, to grab and to steal the land. It's not from today. So when they see that the Jews all go to Yerushalayim and they leave the army, they leave everything, they leave their homes, and they go to Yerushalayim, and there's not one man in the entire land, what's the chance that the day after Pesach started, Eretz Israel will still be in the Jewish hands? Zero. They're all going to walk without fighting. They take everything. In order for Hashem to prevent such a thing, he needed to write another verse in the Torah. What did he write? Ve'lo yachmod goy et arzecha be'alotcha lirot et pnei Hashem elokecha be'ar ha'bchira. A goy will not desire your land when you come to see me in Yerushalayim. Guarantee. I promise. Let's calculate together. First Beit HaMikdash, 410 years. Second Beit HaMikdash, 420 years. How many years? 830 years all together. How many regalim every year? Three. So it's about 2,500 regalim. How long does it take to get from Tzfat on a donkey or from Tiberias on a donkey with your children all the way from there to Yerushalayim when there's no roads, no cars, no trains? And you have to, no, it's, you can only travel during the day because it's 6 in the evening, it's already dark, there's trees, you're not going to be able to walk, there's nothing, you cannot see anything. It's not like today, you have lights, you know. So obviously, you can travel 6, 7, 10 hours a day, finished. So probably minimum a week, if your donkey ate good and is young and strong, maybe a week to get there and a week to come back, stay there a week or 8 days, all together, almost a month, about a month if you calculate good. 3 times a year, 3 months out of the year, you have to leave your business, you have to leave your work, you leave the army, you leave the land, you leave your farms, and you go to Yerushalayim, and now you're in Yerushalayim. So 2,500 months, there was no army. Not one time in history the Goyim attacked Israel in this time. But in between the regalim, non-stop, one war after the other. What's the chance something like this can happen? You see the power of one pasuk in the Torah? Ve'lo yachmod goy et arzecha, which means, if the Jews were in Pesach in Yerushalayim, and the Goyim walked to the north and took over a large piece of Israel, there would be a mistake in the Torah. First mistake in the Torah. Mistake in the Torah? All the questions begin. How do we know? From Hashem, not from Hashem. And הנה אנוכי שולח מלאך לפניך. It's also in a parsha. לשמורך בדרך. I'm sending an angel to guard you on the way. ישמר מפניו ושמע בקולו. It's not like the angels we have. We don't see our angels. Even Bilam didn't see him until Hashem opened up his eyes. We have angels that protect us all the time. But we don't see them. But over here, they saw the angel. Think about it. They have to see him. How do I know? Here, I'm reading to you. Yishamer mipanav u'shma bekolo. It's going to give you instructions.
The Malach is going to talk to you. Listen to him. Because if you're going to listen to him and you do everything I will say, he's going to tell you what I want.
Then I'm committing to fight against your enemy and destroy them. Everybody argue, you need army, you don't need army. Who protects us? The army, Hashem? Why do you need to argue if you have such psukim in the Torah? If you're good with me, I'm going to fight against your enemies, I'll do the job. If not, you're going to have to fight. Today we are not good, that's why we need a strong army. Cost us billions every month. Why we need this? Why we work so much and pay 70% tax in Israel and suffer so much? Because we don't want to choose the easy way. We want to do it the hard way, like they say in Israeli army. What doesn't come through the head, comes through the legs. When you join the Israeli army, you're 18 years old. You come with long hair. And right away they put you inside a barber shop. You don't want to be ever in your life in a place like this. And the barber shaved the head right away. And the next thing, you find yourself running in the mountains and some 18 and a half years old guy humiliates you as much as he can. It's a part of the plan. And all of that. So when he tells you, I give you 30 seconds to run to the top of the mountain, bring me a leaf from the tree and be back, 30 seconds. If you come back 32 seconds, you run all night. All night you run. No sleep tonight. Humiliate you. That's what they do. To make you a strong character. That's what they think. So they always like this sentence. Ma she'lo ba derech harosh, ba derech haraglayim. I told you not to move. You don't follow instructions. Your legs will teach you next time to listen. All night you run. The legs are broken. By the morning, you get the point. After that, 1 month, everyone listen. If we only listen to Hashem first time, we wouldn't need. It will get through the head. It won't come through the raglaim. It's much, much more painful. And this is what's happening. Every day, this, Iran, war, that, Syria, war, like Hezbollah, that. Massive, massive suffering. For what? We don't listen. The Rambam writes, Ilchot Deot, the end of chapter 5. Masao umatano shel Talmid Chacham be'emet uve'emunah. A Talmid Chacham has to speak and negotiate in business always by the truth and with emunah. Omer alav lav ve'al hen hen. When you say lo, you mean no. When you say yes, you mean yes. It's not half yes, half no, or yes, depend on my mood tomorrow. Yes is yes, no is always no. Medakdek al atzmo b'cheshbon, pay attention to the pennies. Always, not to, by mistake, cheat the seller or the buyer. Noten u'mevater la'acherim, be lenient with money, not stingy and strict. Take it, no problem, there's a doubt. Okay, you have it. When you take from them, don't be too strict. Oh, you gave me half a pound less. Okay, no problem. I'm mochel. Noten dmea mekach lealtar. You buy something, pay immediately. Not the American way. 90 days credit and in the end don't pay. Change the sign on the store. What do you want from him? All day he listened to 1010 News. Hurry up! The laws of the bankruptcies are about to be changed. Don't miss the opportunity. Call now. Even if he's an honest person, they wash his brain with so much nonsense all day. He's trying to listen to the weather. But they push it to his head. Come on, everyone cheat. You want to stay honest? You don't be a fool. Call us. $1 million. We'll teach you how to change the sign, to sign some papers, and everything is fine. That can only work in America. The problem is that all this debt and interest and all that comes with you to Bet Din Shel Mala, even if it's a goy. That's a problem. That was a way to get away with that, just by signing a few papers and change the sign. No. It's only helping. It's extending the debt. But the interest continues to accumulate, because with a goy, you owe him the interest also.
Jew, you get away with the interest. Yeah. But the goy, it's accumulated interest. Ay, 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 ay. So, then what? Pay immediately. You have? Pay now. I'll pay you next week. Send me the bill. Come next week, I'm busy. What for? You have the money, pay immediately. That's emunah. So, ולא ירד לאומנות חברו.
Gemara say, the Gemara use a very interesting expression, אשר לא תימה את אשת חברו. Person that impurify his friend wife, which means made a horrible avera. This is, Chazal say, היורד לאומנות חברו. Your friend has a business, you come open the same business across the street. יורד לאומנות חברו. A fisherman sitting by seven lakes try to catch some fish. You come, you put your net right next to him. Hey, do me a favor, there's seven lakes. Go to the same. Why you come to the same lake? Give me some room. Or your father bought seven lakes? I never brought to my attention that you own the lake. What? I also want to do. Okay, go over there. Why next to me? Show me halacha is not allowed. Everything halacha? What's with common sense? Man shesanu alecha al ta'ase lechaverecha. So now they comparing someone who put the net next to your net as someone who made a sin with eshet ish. What's the comparison? The answer is, the Zohar says that a woman that is not sanua is making her husband lose a lot of money, hurting his parnasa. Hurting his parnasa. What's the connection between the way she dressed to the parnasa? Has to be a connection. The Zohar say that the women and the money comes from the same branch in Shamayim. It's a tree. There's a branch. The woman and the money and the parnasa is in the same branch. When a woman is not good, the parnasa is going down. Now I know what you're going to think. Oh, my friend, his wife is very, very not modest. Mamash lo tzanua, and he makes millions. He should have made billions. You know the joke. One guy said to you, "I have a wife for you. I promise you she's going to make you. She made my friend a millionaire." Said, really? Yeah, she's very, very good. She's going to make you a millionaire like she made my friend a millionaire. He said, okay, no, set me up on a shidduch. He said, no, I forgot to tell you, my friend was a billionaire before he met her. She made him a millionaire. The idea is that all this fancy schmancy clothing that they sell today in supposedly religious stores, 90% of them is not passing the halacha requirements. So there's all kinds of controversial things. Allowed, not allowed, up to where. But everything is mamash life risk. Because modesty is machtiya rabim. Gadol ha-machtiya yoter min ha-orgo. It's a very big thing. But nobody seems to be so worried. If the wig is all the way to here, if the clothes is very tight, if it's clear, if it's all riding on it, there's all kinds of jewelry to attract the attention to the face of a woman. Nobody cares about these things anymore. Just 2,000 years ago, the Gemara asked a question, what happened? How they do laundry? Today we have a machine, you click a button and that's it. But 2,000 years ago, how they used to do laundry? They dig a hole, they put some cement on the side, they put the water and some soap. You don't want to smell that soap, I promise you. And you clean the clothes. That's how it was. So the Gemara is saying, you know, in the Mavoi, when all the neighborhoods is like a shape of a chet, like a U, and you have all the houses on the sides and here, and then you open to Reshut Arabim. So in the middle, you park your Mercedes and BMW of those days. The donkey, the camel, the horse, they all park the animals. You put some food. Everybody knows that you need parking in the neighborhood. So you park your animals. For this, you don't need permission. But what if you want to dig a hole in the middle of the Mavoi and you want to do your laundry there? You need permission from the neighbors or no? What's the answer? Usually, of course, ma. It's not your territory. It's gezel, if not. The answer is, of course not. Why? Would you even consider the other alternative? What's the option? That the Jewish woman will go to the lake to do laundry when people passing by? Forget, not like the way they dress today. Cover from head to toe. cover with a sack. Just going to the lake, bend down and do the laundry, and maybe some goyim or some Jews on a horse passing by, and it attracts their attention that somewhere by the lake there's a woman doing laundry from far away. You ever consider a Jewish woman will do such a thing? So what's the question? Since there's no option, everyone is mochel. Today it's your wife doing laundry, tomorrow it's my wife. Now you understand the drop of the level, what's happening here. So, Yored le'omanut chavero and tima et eshet ishto, what's the comparison? Because the same thing over here with modesty and money, it's connected. That's why Chazal gives us this comparison between the two. You know, speaking about honesty, Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, there was one newspaper that was coming out every month, Halacha. Everyone writes Halacha. And mainly this newspaper was criticizing his psak. How did he allow this? How he allowed that? Why over here? Mechila mikvodo. It's criticizing him left and right. And of course they make sure that they mail it to his apartment. So every month he gets it and you see how they smash him left and right with no respect like this. Then after a few months he got the bill. They had the nerve to send him the bill. So he called them up and he said to them, I don't understand. I never ordered that. I never subscribed to your service. So they told him, I'm sorry, Kvod Harav, you are in our system. And you're past due already. So he said, okay, how much is this? They told him the price. He said, okay, I'm mailing you a check, but please take me off your list. Don't send me any more this newspaper. So his shamash is telling him, Kvod Harav, I don't understand why. It's mitzvah to let people take advantage on you. He said to him, no, of course. Bedinem amonas, I don't owe them anything. But I accepted on myself this rule. What's the rule? When I would leave this world, I don't want one person in the world to leave one person in the world that is upset at me in any way. Doesn't matter who's right. And if I won't send it to them, somebody there will be upset. Doesn't worth it for me. Send them the money. I want to leave this world that not one person on earth can come and say, ah, you know, he passed away, but he wasn't 100%. I don't want it. This is the level that a Jew should aim to. You're right, not right, bedin, that, fighting. Better to leave the world with no enemies. It's very interesting because a part of the mishpat of Beit Din Shel Ma'ala is what people on earth is saying after his death. Even if it wasn't such a big tzaddik. But people like him for whatever reason, it helps him in a Beit Din. It's very strange. Because what happened if he was in sport and he has a lot of fans and they all love him, they don't know who he is. They love him, I don't know. I really don't know to answer this. But this is what the Gemara say. Masha people say after a person leave on him here, that's what they say in Beit Din Shel Ma'ala. Before time is running out, let me show you some more beautiful things here in the parsha, and we'll finish. It says like this: Lo tiye mashkela ve'akara be'artzecha et mispar yamecha amale. Nobody will become widows, and nobody will be barren, and I will fill your days. Your days will be blessed. That's what it means. How many barren women we had in the entire Tanakh? Famous barren women that the Tanakh is highlight their names as barren. They cannot, Akara, cannot have children. One, Sarah. Two, Rivka. Three, Rachel. Four, Eshet Manoach, the mother of Shimshon. Five, Chana, the wife of Elkanah. Six, the Shunammit, in the time of Elisha Anavi. And seventh, who is the seventh? Let's see who knows. Six, we're all familiar with. Who is seventh, the seventh one? Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim. Sheneemar, Roni Akara Lo Yalada. Who say it? The Navi Yeshaya. Where? Yeshaya Nun Daled. Kol sheshet ha'akarot harishonot, the first six barren ones in the end gave birth, except the seventh one.
Yerushalayim did not give birth yet. What does it mean? Sheibaneh Bet HaMikdash, az tetzeh me'akaruta. When the Bet HaMikdash will be built, Yerushalayim will not be barren anymore. Sheneemar, how do we know? Lo tiyeh mashkela ve'akara be'artzecha. Klomar, Yerushalayim will not be anymore barren. And what comes right after that? Umispar yamecha amale. The six, I will fill your number from 6 to 7. 7 is the full number. Mispar yamecha amale. How many days do you have in a week? 7. Up to now, what was? Only 6. Now it's going to be finally a full week. At mispar yamecha amale. There's a doctor who checked 2 sick people. 2 sick people come to him. The first one, the doctor say to him, you can eat whatever you want. Whatever you want. Cholesterol, fat, anything you want, eat. The other one, he said, this one you're allowed, this one not. Yes, no, yes, no. Half of the things not allowed. So the first one say to him, it says like this, how come I'm not allowed, the second one asked, how come, yes, for me, yes, no, and him, everything he wants you eat. What's discrimination? What's going on here? So the doctor say, no, the first one is already a lost case. Gonna die one way or the other. Nothing will help him now to start a special diet. You still have a chance to survive. So it says like this. The same thing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When a person is a lost case, and Hashem see this one will not make tshuva, he pays him in his life. You can do whatever you want. Do this, take this, take money, take what you want. All your dreams come through. So he pays him according to his desire. You want houses, you want food, jewelry, vacations, what? Here, take it. Tshuva you're not going to make. I waited for you too long. It's not going to happen. It's only getting worse. But I don't want to owe you, so I got to pay you. Meshalem la'arasha el panav la'avido. It's the last 3 verses in Parashat Vayetchanan. Meshalem la'arasha el panav, cash. I will not delay his payment. Lo acher et tzcharo el panav ha'shalem lo la'avido. But a person that still have a chance to get saved, Hashem doesn't let him do whatever he wants, still in control, disciplined. This is the secret here. Shelo yovad legamre. Now, we have a very interesting in a parasha. Makeh avi ve'imo mot yumat. Person hit his father, mother, blood comes out. Chayav benafsho. Why? Why is going to die? If a person hit his father, lo alenu. Now they have to execute him. So it's a boy, he's 14 years old, he hit his father, whatever the case is. There is witnesses, everything is true. They have to kill him now. How do they know that this is his father? There's always a doubt. And in the Torah is not Beit Din of New York, that beyond reasonable doubt. When the Torah has any doubt, it cannot touch the nefesh. Any doubt, any suffix. You know the story I once told, that there was a criminal in a court, and everything is against him. That's it. Already the jury, the judge, everyone understands he's for sure he's guilty. He's about to send him to death. So then his lawyer say, in his closing argument, he say, Your Honor, in 10 minutes, the real murderer will walk through the door, and all of you will see how you're about to execute an innocent man. You're all going to see. Shh, noise in a court, order in a courtroom. He got them all to sit like this. 9, 9 and a half, 10 minutes, nobody showed up. So the judge said, what is this, a trick here? What's going on? He said to the judge, I don't understand. You're about to kill a person, and all of you still believe that the real murderer is out there.
See that you have a doubt? What can be more reasonable doubt than this? If you were sure, you wouldn't wait 10 minutes. It's a waste of time for the court. Many cases are waiting online. So the judge was very shocked. And all the jury, you know. So then one woman from the jury said, Belloni is guilty. So how do you know? Don't believe this nonsense. So how do you know? Well, we all believe there's maybe another murderer. They're right. They have a case. She said, I did not take my eyes away from the murderer's face the entire 10 minutes. He's the only one who did not look at the door. He don't know, but he will show up. The person knows who he is. Adam lo roe negae atzmo. Person doesn't see negae atzmo. But the person knows about himself, who he is, how he daven, what he does, tzedakah, how much he really gives. One guy came to a shul, said, Kvod Harav, I have an emergency. He brings the letters. So he said, the rabbi said, trust me, you don't want to waste your time on this congregation. I don't know if you're going to make enough money. Don't waste your time. No, rabbi, I'm already here. I came. Allow me to pledge for donations. So he went there. He said, oh, rabbi said, please help the man out. He has a situation. So one guy say, hi. One guy say, 26. One guy say, 52. One guy say, 70, 72, 80, 90. One guy scream, $1. It was all in pennies. The rabbi say, I told you. See, over here, if you make a dollar, you're a rich man. A person knows if he's generous or not. So how are we going to kill the boy when we cannot swear 100% that this is his father? Even today with DNA, by the way. Can DNA make mistake today? It's 1 to 1 billion chance. And since there's no 10 billion people in the world, basically there's zero chance. Right? Everyone agree with this? Why, in that case, why the Torah doesn't allow DNA to be a proof? Well, the rabbis have the power. Ma, Hashem say everything they tell you, tishma bekolam. And the halacha, why halacha, kol halacha? Because it's olech with the generation. It's developed as it needs. There's new cases. The Torah didn't speak about elevator, crackpot, electric. And the rabbis answer all the questions that they were not relevant in the time of the Torah. So over here, say, okay, now we have something that we know 100% is the murderer. We cannot set him free. Or is the biological father, his wife's going to stay home starving and he's going to walk free. He has to feed his children. Why they don't accept it as a proof in Beit Din? No, who has an answer? Let me first, before I answer this question, let me first finish what I started. It says like this. Makeh avi v'imo mot yumat. Ve'ech yumat, how he's going to die? There's always a doubt if he's really his biological father or not. We know about the mother for sure, but the father? So how can we eat him when there's a 1 or 2% chance that he's not really his father? From here we learn the power of chazaka. Chazaka, according to the Torah, it's like seeing in your own eyes. 100%, very good. The question is, the Gemara says, Rov be'ilo sachar ha'baal. Even if there's rumors, this and that, you live with your husband, the boy is yours. I was thinking to myself when I saw it, the highlight is on the father. What does it mean? It's not on Makeh Aviv. It's actually the father. That's really what makes making the whole change. Let me explain. If a person beat anybody else, he gets execution. If you beat up your friend, you're Rasha, even if you didn't touch him. You picked up your hand, v'la Rasha, Amar, lama take re'echa, fine, so he's a Rasha because he was about to hit his friend. If he hit him, it's kal v'chomer, but he's not going to get killed. But if he smacked his father hard enough to make a bruise or something, he has to get killed. But nothing if he hit somebody else. So what's going on here? So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cared about the kavod of the father more than somebody else, even though to hit anybody is humiliating, but with his father, it's come from ungratefulness. Kfui tova. Gidel oto, he raised you,
even if he wasn't your biological father, chazaka, we go by chazaka. But let's say you come to Shamayim,
and you find out that he really wasn't your father. He adopted you when you were a baby. It really doesn't make a difference for Hashem. Why? Because it doesn't matter. This is a person who raised you just like a father. He raised you and fed you and gave you money, and in the end you punched him. Doesn't matter, biological, not biological. It's the level of the kfiut tova.
So I have news for you. DNA, Baruch Hashem, the Rabbanim were smart enough not to accept it as an evidence. I found a month ago something that shocked me completely. There are ways, in Israel they invented a way to replace DNA of a person. If they want to convict an innocent person, it's very easy to do it, and very cheap. They take the blood of a person, they take the white blood cells, replace it with somebody else, confuse the DNA, show the DNA of another person. Can plant evidence in a place and convict a person with DNA and send an innocent person to die or to jail for the rest of his life. Did you hear about this or no?
So imagine if the Chachamim would accept DNA 20, 30 years ago when it started, and they'll kill who knows how many people, or make all kinds of dinema monot, paying an ex-wife, child support, and in the end now, 30 years later, we found out that in DNA it's not a reliable way of proving anything. It'd be a disaster. Everyone will come and say, hey, what kind of Rabbanim is this? You see? It will be a disaster for the Torah.
When a person hit his slave, once he hit his slave, he's going free if he made one of his 24 organs obsolete. What happened if he castrate him? He made him unable to have kids. He also set him free. The question is, the question that we have to ask is, we have a rule, kimle bederava mine. If a person is guilty of two things, you give him the extreme punishment and not the lenient one. The lenient one is get away with. It says like this, Amesares chayav malkot. Someone who's mesares is anybody. Is chayav malkot. It's much bigger punishment than releasing a slave. Releasing a slave, you lose money, whatever it costs you. You buy another slave. But getting hit with a whip is a much bigger thing. So if you get hit by mesares the slave, why you still lose the slave? You got the kashya or no? This question, I have the answer, but I'm not giving it to you. Something to think about for Shabbos. And really, really the last thing for today is this. Ki igach ishor et ish. A ox, you own an ox, and he hit somebody. The Gemara in Baba Kama says, there is something that called shor ait stadionin, a stadium, like in Spain. They trained his ox all his life. They made him like a lion. It's very dangerous because all day they torture him. So the question is, if an ox like this hits somebody, you have to kill him just like when you kill a different ox or no? An ox, listen good to what I'm showing you right now, it's very interesting. An ox hits somebody, chayav mita, ki igach ishor. So the Gemara says, ki igach, that he hit with his head, velo sheyagichuhu, not that you drove him crazy that he hit you, no. Naturally he did it. That kind of ox you killed. But the one who you forced to do with torturing him, no, you cannot kill him. This is the halacha in the Rambam. Niske mamon perek vav halachai. Shvarim shemesachakim bahem, the axes that they play with them in a stadium, ve'melamdim otam, and they teach them, right? En chayavim ligach zeh to hit one each other, they are not considered muad.
And even if they killed a person, they're not have to be killed. En chayavim mita. Va'afilu mutar la'mizbeach. You're allowed to use it for the mizbeach, for the altar. So what do we learn from here about life? Two things we can learn from animals in this parasha, and I'll send you home with this. One, we see a big difference between someone who is naturally bad to someone who became bad by his environment, by the society around him, what we call today Tinok Shenishba. Someone who became bad on his own, he grew up in the house of the big Rebbe. No excuses to be a pushtak, a poshea. No excuses. You just decided to be a rasha. But someone who you took to the kibbutz when he was 3 years old, what does he know from his life? On Pesach they fed him bread, Shabbos was working day, Yom Kippur eating. He never saw anything in his life. That's what we call Tinok Shenishba. Eno Chayav Mita. So all the children that their parents abused them and tortured them and did not raise them right, they are not guilty. Because what do you expect from him? It's just like the ox. You made the ox a murderer. It's not guilty. Not only is not guilty, kasher la mizbeach. That's why tinok shenishba mashlim inyan. I always wonder, I understand he's not guilty. He's not guilty, he's innocent. Well, what does he know? But why to be mashlim inyan? It's like a goy. Michal El Shabbos is like a goy. It's not mashlim inyan. Fine. Because he's a criminal. But here, the same person is also Michal El Shabbos. So fine, you don't give him onesh. But how to be mashlim inyan is Michal El Shabbat? It's very hard. But now we understand why. Because not only that he's not guilty, it's like the ox is kasher la mizbeach. And another thing from the animals in this parasha, if you see the donkey of your enemy, the Torah highlights the word sonecha, rovetz, tachat masao. The weight was so hard, it brought the donkey down. Your enemy, even a king, a president of the Sanhedrin, walks by and he sees a Jew that he hates so much, lo aleinu, and the donkey is down. He must leave everything and help him to bring the donkey back on his leg and help him out. From here we can learn a beautiful kal vachomer. Beautiful kal vachomer. If you cannot ignore the donkey of your enemy, someone you hate, and it's only his donkey, I care about his donkey now, I'm going to ruin my suit for a donkey, I'm going to miss my train for a donkey, I'm going to miss my appointment for a donkey, what do I have to do with him now? You're not allowed to pretend you didn't see him. Azov ta'azov imo. When you see a Jew that collapsed, it's needless to say, for a donkey Hashem cares so much. Don't ignore it, run, help him. For a Jew that he doesn't know what to do, he doesn't have Torah, Yirat Shamayim, nothing, he doesn't know what is he live for, you got to be mekarev him. You cannot say, okay, well, no, what does he know? Got to run after him. Like the Zohar says, 70 years, give all your life, and you made one Jew frum, one Jew you made frum, or you helped to make him frum, or you sponsor, or you did anything like this. And thanks to you, he became frum, or came to yeshiva, or whatever, it was worth it for you to suffer 7 years, the Zohar say, run after him all your life, give him money, do everything for him to become Shomer Mitzvot, was already a big achievement in life. Your entire life is success. And this is needless to say, kal vachomer from the donkey. If a donkey is like this, azov ta'azov imo, bring the weight back, even the president, bring it up. You know, the ear of the thief, you bring to the mezuzah and you made him some kind of a burn, b'marzea. So everybody asks,
Why on a year? Why not anywhere else? Ozen shelo shama be'ar Sinai lo tignov. At an ear that did not hear in Har Sinai, you should not steal. And now he stole and he could not pay back. He became a slave. So now he's a slave because he's a thief, because he didn't listen to the Aseret HaDibros. Even though in Aseret HaDibros is really, you should not steal a person, kidnap. In another place, it's Elotignov already. Over here, he's speaking about stealing people, kidnapping. But doesn't matter. Behar Sinai, not in the Ten Commandments. Lo shama lo tignov, rotzim b'marzea. But why here? Why here and not here in the Ozen? How did they know that here they have to do it? Everything in the Torah, you must bring a proof. Why over here? Okay, bring the slave. Let's do it here. Some people put the earring over here today. It's in style, so comes from here like a hook or something. So why over here? Chazal say, this piece, what's the name of it, you know?
Globe.
Huh?
Globe.
Well, in English, yeah, but in Hebrew, it's called Ilya. Say, what was it made to block the ear when you hear Leitzanut? Lashonara, Leitzanut, you go like this, and so we know in Gemara, Leitzanut achat, one Leitzanus, docha mea tochechot. 100 lectures of Musar will be dismissed, wiped out for one bad word or dirty joke or who knows what. Leitzanut, being a clown. So it says like this. When a person started to hear Divrei Leitzanut and did not close his ear with his peace, I was supposed to, right? Because of that, when Hashem say you should not steal, even if he heard, of course he heard, but he couldn't accept because the Leitzanut, as the Ramchal writes in Mesilat Yesharim, he's speaking about the clowns. Three different kinds of people that there's obstacle between them and Hashem. One, Leitzanut. The Leitzanut of taking everything easy. Everything, no big deal. Don't be strict, don't be fanatic. One rabbi came to me to speak to me about a TV show. To speak, to do Kiruv, TV, radio, internet. So I told him, you know, my style, I'm telling you in advance, I don't want to waste my time in your style, is different than the American style, I said. And it's also different than many Israelis. Most of the Kiruv organization are very soft. They're not allowed to speak about Midat Adin, punishment, nothing. Only the beauty of the Torah. If a person wants to accept, fine. If not, they have patience forever. By me, I don't have patience. 1 to 3 weeks, I want to see the person Shomer Shabbos, I go full force. I start soft, I go higher, higher, higher. If after 3-4 weeks, I don't see him Shomer Shabbos, I move on. I don't want to waste time. So some people may think I'm maybe more aggressive than the other. But I tell you something. I have a very high percentage of Shomer Shabbos. This I can prove to you. I can show you thousands of emails. And he said, you know, I was always wondering, maybe that's the right way. And so we started to talk. So I told him, you know, when you ask the organization why they go so soft, so they answer, we're afraid to turn them off. So I answer, you can only turn off someone that was on. These people are off from the moment they were born. They're off all their life. There's maybe one shock. You electrocute them a minute or two, you wake them up, maybe you save them, or they stay what they are, dead. They're spiritually dead already. But today I gave him another proof, and he agreed with me. And I saw in his face that it was an honest agreement, not just because he was being polite. What I told him? I told him, let me ask you something. You read the Torah? Yes. I read the Torah? Yes. Some parts of Judaism, Hashem didn't want every ordinary Jew to know. That's why we call it the sod, Kabbalah, secret. 1 out of 1,000 knows it. 1 out of 10,000 knows it. Not everybody knows it. It's not in the Torah. And not only that, some things the Torah said, don't say in front of Am Haaretz. This is allowed, but don't say it. This is not allowed, but don't say it. Hashem was interested to hide certain things in Judaism from the ordinary people. To hide. But The Torah, half of the Torah, it's warnings and punishments, strict punishments. That part of the Torah, Hashem did not hide from the ordinary simple people, from all the Amei Aratzot, from all these people that we're afraid to turn them off. The opposite, it's written in every page in the Torah, and it repeats again and again and again. Stoning, kares, mot yumat, no share to the world to come, execution, this, that, wars, problem, abortions, miscarriages. So the Torah is full of these warnings. You see, Hashem wanted to know the strict size of him. Not only the lenient, beautiful, it's making a very big scene, covering half of the Torah and only show what pleasant to hear. That's not what Hashem wanted. It's mamash forging the Torah. So I told him, let me tell you something. I can prove to you from the Torah that it must be a combination of love and fear. Love alone, it's nothing. Fear alone, it's nothing. Must be a combination. If it's only love, it's nothing. If it's only fear, it's nothing. Love and fear, it's the highest rate of success. How can I prove to you? When Hashem gave the Torah, definitely never had any intention to arm any Jew. When Hashem gave the Torah, it's the light of life, it's helping us in our life, or the Torah destroying our life? Is it possible to think that the Torah helps 8 Jews but arm 2 other? The answer cannot be. Because if the Torah was arming any Jew, if the Torah was arming any Jew in any way, then Hashem wouldn't give it. What's the proof? If somebody comes to you and say, there are 10 Jews about to be dead now, they're about to execute them, but I know the person who is about to kill them, he said that if we give him 2 Jews, he'll take the 2 Jews and release the 10. But we have to give him 2 Jews to kill in order for us to release the 10. So we save 10, but we kill 2. Allowed according to the Torah? Not allowed. Anything in the Torah that will help 1 million Jews, but would kill 10 or 20 or 50 or whatever, of course, there's nothing to compare. Not a lot to do. Happen naturally, happen. To give 1 or they kill the entire city is not allowed. This concept constantly repeat. So if the Torah, if the strict part of the Torah was helping certain Jews and damaging the others, Hashem would never give because it's against his rules. So the proof is that I am right, that no parts of the Torah that is strict and what people call scary is damaging any Jew and ever damage the Jew. And if they tell you, oh, it's scaring me, it's too strict, this lecture is too, you know, whatever, don't pay attention to these excuses. It's only excuses. They tell you whatever they say, but inside their heart, they thinking tshuva. If he's right, I'm finished. And I told him that. If you go and make a lecture, and the people who are not keeping mitzvot listening to you, and they go home without guilt in their heart, you did nothing. Nothing whatsoever. Mamash waste of time. Because a week later, nobody remembers the lecture. So they stay the same. But if he lives with Christine, and you just woke him up and told him what's going to be his end, if he's not going to change, after you prove to him that it's all divine, of course, you first have to prove. If not, can say whatever you want. He's not going to listen. But now he knows it's divine. That's first step. Once you know the Torah is from the creator of the world, how can you ignore him and let him go back to his Averos, to his Chilul Shabbos, just because you're afraid to turn him off? So what are you afraid? That he's not going to come anymore to lecture? So what happened? He was 0, he stayed 0. But 7 others become Shomer Shabbos. Do you understand the concept behind it? The Hashem wrote in the Torah, le'ahava u'le'ira, to love and to fear. To fear me, Shlomo HaMelech. He needs my approval. He needs your approval. Ashrei Adam mefached tamid. David HaMelech. Samar mipachdecha psari. I'm shaking, thinking about Yom Adin. I give you 1,000 proofs like this, one after the other. So what, all of them were wrong, and we are right all of a sudden? In this generation, everybody knows how to do Kiruv. So people say, no, but the generation changed. Not true, because the Torah applies until the end of time. And Hashem knew it's going to be such a weak generation. And Hashem wouldn't help 20 generations, and the last generation destroyed everyone with his strict Torah. He wouldn't do what he wants to do. Hashem wouldn't help 10 million Jews, and in the last generation would destroy 5 million Jews with his Torah. So what kind of Torah is this? Helping one and damaging the other? The answer is, if you think that by hiding some strict part of the Torah from people, in the beginning, of course, because it's not capable of receiving, and after you prove to him, you have to begin to hint to him, listen, there's a price to pay. What do you mean? I tell it to American Jews. In the beginning, I know they're not going to be able to tolerate if I read to them some verses in the Torah, they'll faint, or they think I'm crazy, one of the two. But I say to them, after a beautiful lecture of proofs, just that you know, that if a person listens to Hashem, he will inherit eternity full of the highest pleasures. To lose it, it's horrible. And just that you know, if a person doesn't listen, there's also a price to pay. It's not going to be easy. That's it. And I leave. What do you mean, Rabbi? What do you mean? What do you mean a price to pay? You understand? You gotta do it. Because the nature of people, all of us, anyone here can raise his hand and say that if there was no fears in the Torah, he would do certain things that he does. Many things that we do is because we know there's a price to pay. What to be hypocrite? What to put a show and act that we are doing for love? No, Rabbi, ani rak mi ahava. I do from love. And I get these stories, you know who you can tell to. I always say, erase all the punishment of Torah. I wish we'll have a minyan. Yeah? Maybe the shachris will start at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Why people are afraid? At 10 o'clock I'm in bed. I'm afraid of Hashem. I'm embarrassed. Embarrassed, afraid. Call it whatever you want. The idea is clear. Bezrat Hashem, thank you, David, for inviting me. Good Shabbos, everyone. Baruch Adonai l'olam. Amen v'amen.